The scripture reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. We read chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 is the scripture reading this evening. And there we read God's holy word in Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel, and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and a stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, Wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods, and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So far the reading of God's word. The text is formed by verse 29. The last verse, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So far. Here in Deuteronomy 29, congregation, we see that the people of Israel are gathered for a very solemn occasion. They're at the point of entering the promised land. And here Moses is renewing the covenant of God with them. And Moses is warning them that if they would follow the idols, that then dreadful judgments will come upon them. Then their land will be like the land of Sodom and Gomorrah after the Lord had poured out his judgments upon that land. And so the Lord is warning his people here. And we are also here this afternoon at a very important occasion, the occasion of the baptism of Blake and Lily. And the Lord is also giving us a confirmation of his covenant. And then the conclusion of this is that Moses then speaks to the people that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. We meditate on knowing God's will, and we see the hidden things and the revealed things. So God's word is a wonderful and a glorious book. And why is that, boys and girls? Why is the Bible such a wonderful book? Because in the Bible you find answers to questions that people have been asking throughout all the ages. There are burning questions of life that philosophers are thinking about, and they're trying to explain why we are here and what life is all about. And people are filled with a feeling of dissatisfaction. Some are even indifferent. They don't know, why am I here and what is life about? Where am I? Where did I come from and where am I going to? And now the Bible gives us answers to these questions. And the Bible shows us that man is a sinner and needs salvation, and that the Lord Jesus has worked this salvation. And God reveals this and many other matters in his word. And that's why we find in the Bible a multitude of questions answered. We find there questions about sin and evil, about what is right and what is wrong. We find there matters explained how people can be delivered from the slavery of the devil, how they can be saved from their sins, how they can gain everlasting life. And the Bible reveals who God is, explains to us God's will. But there are matters that God's word does not explain to us. There are matters that God has seen fit not to reveal in His Word. You and I can have various questions. And we look in the Bible, we don't find an answer to them. But these questions are not really important questions regarding our salvation. Everything regarding salvation is clearly revealed in the Word of God. But you and I can have curious questions. We are curious about certain matters. We would like to know various matters. We would like to know more details. But the Bible is not written to satisfy our curiosity, but is written to show us the way to salvation. And so we are to restrain our curiosity, and we are to be humble, and we are to bow for the authority of God's Word, and we are to remain within the limits that God's Word sets for us. God retains to Himself certain secret things, hidden matters that God has not seen fit to explain to us. And why not? Because it would not benefit us to know these matters. If it would benefit us, if it would be for our profit, if it would cause people to have a more stronger faith and a more livelier faith, then the Lord for sure would have revealed that in His Word. The Lord has done everything to awaken faith, to strengthen faith, to cause a life of faith to thrive that is profitable for man. But there are matters God has not revealed because it's not useful for us. It's not beneficial for us to know everything. Even in your own life, would it be helpful to you to know the day where you would die and where you would die? Would it be beneficial for you to know before your conversion if you are one of the elect or not? Is that beneficial? Is it beneficial for us to know when exactly the Lord Jesus will return, the day and the date? All these matters are not helpful for us to know. They're not helpful for the life of faith. They're not beneficial. That's one reason why the Lord does not disclose everything in His Word, because it's not beneficial, it's not helpful to us. But secondly, we can also say that some of these hidden things are not revealed to us simply because they are none of our business. It's none of our business. They belong to God. These secret, these hidden matters belong to God. He is the King of Kings. And does He not have the right to have certain things reserved for Himself? Even common kings, presidents and kings, know certain matters that they do not disclose, not even to politicians, because it's not advantageous. There are certain secrets, even in government, for the well-being of the nation, that are not to be broadcasted and are not to be published in the newspapers. That would jeopardize the safety of our country. Well, if our nations even have certain matters which are none of our business, they are classified, how much more may God, the sovereign, King of all kings, does He not have the right to retain certain matters in His counsel which He does not reveal to us? For instance, the date that His Son shall return, He has not disclosed that to us. He simply tells us the fact. That's enough for us. And then the Lord Jesus is so good to show us certain signs of His imminent coming. And the Lord tells us to be watchful. But He does not disclose the exact date. He is Lord. He has every authority to keep matters under himself, for they are simply none of our business, and we must humbly submit to this good King. And then thirdly, there are also hidden matters that are simply too difficult for us to understand. There are certain matters we don't tell our children when they are 5 years old, and not even when they are 10 years old. When they get a bit older, then we start explaining certain matters of life to them. It's simply too difficult for them. You don't tell your little girl of 4 years old to carry your suitcase when you go on vacation. It's far too heavy. The girl can't handle that. And likewise, there are also things in life that you don't tell a four-year-old. And there are certain things in spiritual life, certain truths that are too heavy, too difficult for us to bear. And therefore, the Lord does not reveal them to us. But we can ask questions. Questions about God's goodness. Why is it that God displays so many miracles to people of whom he knew they would all turn away from him and crucify him? Now that's an amazing matter. The patience, the loving kindness, the goodness of the Lord, the depth, the height of his love. And also, we can ask the question, why? Why is it that God gives his only begotten Son to a world that would reject him and hate him, and the world still hates Christ even after he showed the way of life and sacrificed his life to open up a way of salvation for lost mankind? Then still people respond in hatred and enmity. Why still does God show such love? Well, we read in the Bible an answer that he did it to the praise of his glory. But still we don't understand it. It's too high, too deep for us. But there are also other questions regarding God's sovereign decree of election and reprobation, that God has chosen some to life eternal and they will be saved, but God has also decided in his eternal counsel to leave others in their own self-chosen ways, in their misery into which they have plunged themselves. Why does God make such a decision? But then we are prying into matters we do not understand. God is sovereign. We have all sinned. And remember, God does not choose for someone's damnation. That person himself chooses for that damnation by his rebellion and his enmity and his unwillingness to bow before the Lord. What God does, God chooses sinners to salvation and leaves other sinners in the damnation that they have chosen themselves. And it's also true, we know from Scripture, that unless God would elect, none would ever be saved. But that's, then we reach the limits of what Scripture explains to us. Because, again, these matters are too difficult for us to understand. They belong to the secret things of the Lord. And there are more questions we can ask, which are again too difficult for us. And maybe some of these questions have risen up in your mind or heart from time to time. If we consider God's almighty power, why then are not all people saved? And why then are not all people made perfect? And why was there ever a fall in paradise? And where does evil come from? And we can go on and on, and we can even be rather impudent in asking more questions. And why are those who now molest God's children, why are those persecutors not immediately consumed by God's wrath? And we can go on and on in our carnal reasoning, and we can ask questions. But the Lord says, behind these questions, forbidden. Forbidden. It's too difficult for us to understand. These matters belong to the secret things of the Lord. We know of God's righteousness, holiness, justice, and we know that hell is needed as a just punishment because sins committed against the Most High God must be punished by the most severe punishment. It's also the result of man's own choice against God to live without God. Then he will be without God. And we know that God made all things good and that the fall came by man's willful disobedience. The Lord says this to us and still we can't understand it. We would like to have more details. Well, the Lord says that He proves His love, that while we were yet sinners, God commendeth His love. Romans 5:8. By having Christ dying for us. And God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love. That's revealed to us. But the secret things, we are to bow for what God has revealed to us, knowing that God is just, righteous. And in the immediate setting of our text, you know why Moses uses this text here, that right after he has explained the judgments that will come upon Israel if they forsake him and go after the idols, immediately after that, then he says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There's a reference there to these punishments. Because you must understand, the people of Israel there may have thought, that's unthinkable how these punishments can ever come upon us. That's unthinkable. That if they would worship idols, that they would become like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, we, in our reasoning, we look at our society and we think it's unbelievable, unthinkable, that judgments can come upon our society. But the Lord says they are the hidden things. The Lord knows how to execute His wrath. And He will do so upon impenitent people. And God knows how and exactly what shall happen when the elements will burn with melt with fervent heat. God knows how His judgments will be carried out. And we do not know the details. We know it will happen. These hidden things, the secret things that we cannot fathom, they belong to the Lord. And also God has not revealed to us what He will do in our lives. These are also the secret things that belong to God. We are called to turn to Him. We are called to trust Him. We are called to lay our lives before Him. And that the Lord would be our King, our guide. In Him there is safety. Whatever may happen to us, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That's sufficient for us. And blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's sufficient for us to know. And everything above that, we would like to pry into, that is sin. But we also see the revealed things. You know, man is foolish and man would like to penetrate into the hidden mind of God. And man would even like to call the high God to give an account of his actions and of his decrees. But on the other hand, Calvin comments here that man is instead, he is aroused to be zealous and to seek instruction from what God has plainly set before us in Scripture. But what does man do? When Scripture is laid before him, man is inclined and man turns away from Scripture, despises it, rejects it, says it's too difficult, we don't understand it, or can't be bothered to examine it or to study it, or people despise it, people don't find it interesting. And we put that which God has clearly revealed to us far from us. And we say, that's too difficult. But the Lord says, these are the revealed matters. And these are the matters that belong to us and to our children forever. And what are the matters that God has revealed in His Word to us? In His Word, God again shows us salvation. So the Lord has shown us in His Word that we have sinned against God and against all His commandments. And the Lord shows us that we have an awful, corrupt nature. And if this nature is unchecked, it will lead us to everlasting darkness. And God reveals in Scripture His plan of salvation. And Calvin comments here that in revealing these matters to us, God lowers Himself. He accommodates Himself to our level of understanding. And so the Lord has revealed and told us where we come from and where we are heading for. And He reveals Himself to the ends of the earth, and He says, look unto me, O ye ends of the earth, and be saved. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And the Bible also explains why the Lord Jesus can make such a claim, because He arose from the dead. That's why He conquered every foe. That's why He is the Savior. These are matters revealed to us that we would understand it. We would cherish it. And also Scripture has revealed to us that whoever comes to Him with confession of guilt, asking for forgiveness, he will not be turned away. That there is full salvation, there's full redemption in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord clearly explains to us all we need to know to gain salvation. He reveals to us only that which is useful and good, beneficial for us to know. He reveals Himself as a faithful God, as a God who can save to the uttermost, as a God who can save even the worst, the chief of sinners, that He is a God who translates from darkness to light, from death to life, and that He leads His people into everlasting glory. And the Lord reveals Himself that He is gracious, long-suffering, full of loving kindness, that He is a good master, that He gently leads His people in love, that underneath them are arms, everlasting arms, carrying them, and that He proves His love by giving Himself into death for them while they were yet sinners. And so there's so much in God's Word for our instruction, reproof, and edification. God offers salvation. And He offers it to all, while none deserve to receive it. And the Lord even comes to us with promises that those who come to Him shall receive life everlasting, but many do not come, and they perish. Not because of the decree of election, but they perish because of their sins and guilt, because of their unwillingness. They refuse to bow before the Lord. And whenever there is a sinner who is saved, he is only saved by the sovereign grace of God. God chose him and drew him and overcame all his objections and unwillingness. And he opened his eyes to the blessedness of Christ. This is what God reveals to us. And all this is revealed to us also in the covenant. Because when we think here of the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children, where do we find the pinnacle of this revelation? In a very personal way, it's His covenant. The covenant of grace, as we read in the form that God comes to us as a Father who adopts us as His children, and that He will provide us with every good thing or avert all evil and turn it to our profit, and all this for the sake of the one and only sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And so God reveals Himself in His Son, who washes us in His blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection. And in the covenant, the Holy Spirit reveals Himself as the one who is able and willing to apply to our hearts all these blessings which we have in Christ, in the promise of the covenant which is conferred upon us. These blessings need to be applied to our heart, to be laid in us. It's not enough if they are laid upon us, if they are given to us. We need to receive them. That's the application. The washing away of our sins. The renewal of our lives. That application takes place in the way of regeneration and conversion, that the Holy Spirit gives a new heart. Now these are the matters revealed to us. And these are the matters for us and for our children. And these are the matters that parents should instruct their children of as they come to the years of discretion, so that our children learn to understand the rich grace that has been laid upon them in the covenant of grace. Do we listen to these revealed matters? Do we focus on the revealed matters? Do we plead these revealed blessings preached to us loudly, signified and sealed to us in baptism? Do we take time to instruct our children in these revealed matters of God? No, we should not trouble ourselves with questions about the sovereignty of God and election. Instead of doing that, we should focus upon the offer of God's Son to us all. We can try to lift up a mountain. We can't do that. But you can try to lift up a rock or a stone and become serious before God about what He has told us. I am the sinner. Have you seen that? Have you paid attention to this revealed truth? You are the sinner. No longer him or her. No longer them, but us, we, you, me. We need to be concerned about our own debt that we have incurred with God. And we need to be concerned about our own salvation. That's far better. And we need to think of a God who promises salvation to the needy, to those who flee to Him, if we are still unconverted and we're not really interested in salvation. Or maybe we think everything is fine with us and we still think in terms of they are the sinners and not us, me, as the worst one. Then it's high time to take serious the revealed things. Maybe you're still looking at the hidden things, the secret things, but that's wrong. They belong to God. It's better to focus upon the revealed things that I will have to give an account of filth and iniquity, and that I need to have a new life in Christ. That's our business. These are the matters we should be concerned about, and that there is a God in heaven who hears prayer, and that there is a God in heaven who reaches down from heaven and he saves lost sinners as firebrands plucked out of the fire, and that there is a God in heaven who is able and willing to deliver, and that he understands you, and that he knows exactly how you need to be saved. And that he promises to give a contrite heart, to teach us to loathe ourselves because of what we do and how much we fall short, that we open our eyes, and that he opens our eyes, and we didn't know it was so bad with us, and we didn't realize that the Lord is so good, so merciful, so patient. We have to be concerned about the revealed things. Is that how it is in your life? Have you fled to him? The revealed matters belong to us and to our children. And these matters are also most precious matters. It's so good to meditate upon these revealed matters. You see, one of them in our text already, we find there the reference, the Lord our God. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And that revelation of the Lord, I am the Lord in capital letters, I am the faithful one, the I am who I am, I am who I shall be. That's revelation of a faithful covenant-keeping God. And that here that Moses says to the people, the Lord, our God, indeed our God of the covenant, the God who entered into a covenant with Israel and with us as well. What a comfort those words, the Lord, our God. What a rock to flee to. What an anticipation of deliverance of a God who heals and who hears. Of a God who personally reveals himself to us. You know, it's one thing when the Lord reveals himself as the Lord your God. But it's still something else for us to confess, to respond that he is the Lord, my God. You see, then something has happened. When you come to that confession, he is the Lord, my God, then God has intervened in your life. Then you have learned to see him as your God. Then you have been brought into a saving relationship with your covenant God. Then you have owned your guilt, and you have found peace in the blood of Christ. You are reconciled to him, and the Lord now takes control of your life, and he leads you through this life. And he's in control, and you say, he is the faithful, covenant-keeping Lord, my God. And of him you expect all things for this life and for the better life. Can you already say, he is the Lord, my God? And to all of us here this evening in church, the Lord offers himself as the God of all salvation as the Lord your God. He offers himself as your help, your refuge, your deliverance. This is what the Lord has revealed in his word and in his covenant, and it's sealed here at baptism. I am the Lord your God, and now you may call upon this God for salvation, for deliverance, for mercy. This is what is underscored here in holy baptism. And what does this all lead to? The text says, when you focus on those revealed things, that we may do all the words of this law. When you focus on the revealed things, when you meditate upon these matters, and you flee to the covenant God, and he becomes your God very personally, what happens then? Then he teaches you to walk in all the words of God's law. Then you learn to obey the Lord. You learn to love the Lord. You learn to love His Word and to love His law. And you desire and heave and pant for His commandments. The Lord speaks in His law of love and of walking in all righteousness. And that's what the Lord God teaches to His people under the New Testament as well. He leads them into a new and godly life. That's the result of meditating on the revealed things, and then the Lord can even give sight to His children and people, that they then, after they have been reconciled to God, have been incorporated in Christ, then the Lord gives them some sight upon the hidden matter of their own personal election in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 4, as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's something you did not know before your conversion. That still belonged to the secret things of the Lord, of the Lord in His love, because it will then be profitable to you, because it will be encouraging to you and helpful to you. Therefore, the Lord shows you, God's child, after grace has been magnified in your life, then you see this hidden thing revealed in Christ. You look at the face of Christ, and in Christ you see the mirror of your own election, and you rejoice in His salvation, and you are encouraged to gird up the loins and to run the race the Lord has set before you, because Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you long to reflect His image, or then you long to reflect more all the words of His law, and you long to love God without any spot or stain of sin. And that's a result of meditating on the revealed things of God. The Lord has a people who are renewed and changed, He becomes your delight. And then instead of focusing upon the secret things of the Lord, your delight is now to reflect upon God's law, to love God and your neighbor. And that's a walk. The fruit of that revealed, focusing on the revealed things of God, is a walk in God's law, which will draw your neighbor to seek also the Lord Jesus. Let such a walk be our aim. Amen.